Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Sync for August 8th, 2018. This is the first one we've had in like 3 or 4 weeks because lots of folks have been away, either on business or vacation, etc. Let's see. Yeah, we got a bunch of fun stuff here to deal with. Alrighty, let's see. I'm going through first the needs discussion during sync issues because I feel like there was one that was specifically tagged for Benoit being around. So I'm looking for that. Joe, back in December of 2017, you put needs discussion during sync on 2408. Can you check that out and see if it should still have that on it? And if it should, can you drop a note as to why it's still tagged with that? Because I came across it when I was doing this and I was like, I don't know. Is there something we were supposed to do on that? Did we just not remove the label or what?
All right. Will do.
Okay. So, nope, not that one. Okay. Benoit, there was a question for you 28 days ago from Joe on 2740. That's segfault while compiling on Windows with Pony 0.22.3. Well, it wasn't really a question specifically for you, Benoit, but I think you'd probably be the best person to have a quick look see on that.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
Joe, do you know why you thought it might be related to the defer reify changes that had been done?
Which ticket is this?
2740 was. I'm assuming that you thought it might be related to this because that shows up in the stack trace, but I'm not sure if there was any other reason why you might have.
Yeah, that's the only reason is it's in the stack trace, and so
When did defer reify go in? Do you know?
Let's find out.
Because I mean, then we could certainly test it with a pre defer reify. Let's see if it happens.
Um, 2557 went into which release is that in? That's odd. I don't see it. Yeah, so it's not in the change log. It's not odd because it's not supposed to have any public facing changes. Okay. I'll use a different method there. Looks like okay, maybe it's so released in 0.22.
0.22. Okay, so I'll basically ask, where's my What was the last 21 release?
Looking right now.
21 policy releases.
22 is the big one. Yeah, so 21.3.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, so I'm dropping a note on there seeing if anybody can test with that. Actually, polylang, polyc, checkout 0.21.3. I can do that. I will test that with 0.21.3 in the background. Are you still looking at that, Benoit, or do you want to, or should we move on to another thing?
Yes. So in the backtest that you posted, given the value of left cap in cap view upper, it seems that there is some problem with a bear type, which might be related to the default Wi-Fi. So I have to take a look.
All right. Let me see if I might have a thing here where I can 27. I have a directory where I have a lot of the issues, the code already. So 27. I do not have this one. 2740 issue 2740 20. Okay, I was able to reproduce before on OS X, so let's try this here. I get this prior to, I get this with version 21.0.3. So this is prior to that change. So it's not that. So it's prior to whatever that change was.
Do you have a debugger that you can run?
Yes, but I'm not using a debug version of the program at the moment, but yes.
Okay, so I'll try myself when I have access to a committee.
Yeah, okay. Okay, should I drop you on that as an assignee, Benoit, or no?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Okay, let's see. All right, Joe, the label for that. Let's see, wow, this goes all the way back to January. This is when we need to finish. 2390. This is, should integer operations SHL and SHR be defined in private traits? The last thing we had on this was Matthias asking if we all agreed that the first step should be making signed and unsigned integer public. I think that that's a reasonable... first step.
So, in addition to that, there's the other kind of question I have, in the second half of my last comment on that thread. I'm still trying to understand, the changes in, 1395, I guess, I'm refreshing myself here on Benoit's explanation. Okay, it looks like 308 is what pointed to. Where's that shift left? No, okay. So, oh no, I see where that is. Okay. So that's related to abs only. 308 is related to abs only. And I'm trying to make sure I understand which PR. The signed, the signed versus unsigned shift left, shift right change came in. Yeah, so it is part of the change, Benoit, in 1395, changes shift left and shift right to have a definition of A as, so originally they had A as the argument type and return type, and now they have B as the argument type with A as the return type. And I'm trying to figure, I think that's the reason they have to be isolated like that. I'm trying to figure out, is that change necessary, or could we go back to a model of taking A as the argument and internally just understanding those as being the unsigned equivalent of the signed argument for the case of signed shift left and shift right. Especially given that shift left and shift right with very high, like it doesn't make sense to use negative signed values there, and, you know, very high unsigned values would be nonsensical too, because there's just not enough bits to make it relevant.
So to make sure I understand, you're proposing that we go back to A as both the parameter and the return type, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not really familiar anymore with the problematics in this area. So I'm not sure I can really comment on that at the moment.
Okay.
So, okay. I didn't follow all of that. So should we be turning this into an issue to make those public? Is there additional things that we want to do as part of this, Joe?
I'm just trying to refresh myself back on the context of this. I think if we make... I think if we make the traits public, as Matthias is suggesting, I think it solves the problem. And if it doesn't, then we can address the shift left, shift right.
Yeah. Okay.
Issue later.
make okay, so discussion direct sync. While I'm doing this, Benoit, 2767. Did you have a chance to look into that at all? And I'm gonna finish writing this up here on the other one.
No, I haven't looked at that. I'm reading through the issue now to refresh myself.
What number is that?
Uh, 2767.
Yeah, I remember making some progress while investigating this, but I don't remember what exactly.
Okay, should we leave the needs discussion on sync on here, or should I take that off? Take it off?
Maybe take it off, and if I come up something that requires discussion, then I'll add it back.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Let's see. We discussed that. We left that on there. Let's see here. Joe, 2782. We have needs discussion during sync on that. Do we still need that on 2782?
We need a needs discussion with Sylvan Tag. but yeah, I mean,
that's a reason to leave it on there. If you could just drop an additional comment on there that it has this, so we can make sure that when you and Sylvan together are in a sync, that there's discussion.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah, he had a question, or like, you know, he made a point and I made a counterpoint and trying to figure out where we stand. So yeah.
Okay, so if you could just update that, that would be great. We have. Okay. Fairly 2808. Benoit, while you're here, if you'll raise this, do you have any insight on 2808. It's a tuple crashing bug. Joe did some pretty good triaging on it. We have, we still have needs discussion during sync on it, but I think we could take that off. But just highlighting it to you, Benoit, is one where if you have anything on that, feel free to weigh in, but we don't have to comment on it right now. Skipping over quickly on the renaming Pony Stable to something else, it looks like TAC is way out in front at this point. Should we declare that the winner? It's got 10 votes. The next closest thing is Rodeo with 5.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right.
On 2808, yeah, that's the boxing bug with a bug that's been around for quite some time and that I can't pin down. So, yeah, I think two or three other issues on that. So that's high priority, but I don't really know what's happening.
Okay. Right, so we added tack there to the issue. Okay. Okay. Alrighty. Does anybody, before we move on to PRs, does anybody have anything they would like to discuss? Nope.
I had a docs question. I noticed that Sean just merged earlier this afternoon the PR about changing how the pthread stack size is managed by the runtime. That was in response to this memory clobbering bug that I had opened and then closed due to pilot error on my part. That bug, 2850, was being caused by pthread stack smashing by having pointy functions recurse deeply enough to exceed the pthread stack size, and then weird stuff happens. When my understanding of the POSIX and the pthread standard is that once you overrun the stack, kind of behavior is undefined and you kind of get what you deserve. But it wasn't my recollection of the tutorial and other pony docs don't make it very clear how the stack is used and how it might interact with the POSIX pthreads. And so I'm wondering if other people's memory of those docs sort of matches mine, and if so, maybe get a suggestion of where I ought to make an addition to one or more of the docs to help clarify that kind of runtime behavior.
My recollection is yes, that is undefined behavior. Yay, undefined behavior. I was playing around, by the way, with what the undefined behavior is for divide by zero with different bit sizes this the other day. That was a lot of fun to see, because that really is undefined behavior. But I think probably I would say that probably in the gotchas maybe might be a place for that, right? Like a gotcha for recursion specifically, really. Hey, related to recursion, you can smash your stack and then weird things would happen. This is how the stack size for a scheduler thread is set. This is what you might see, really weird, bizarre behavior because of this blah, 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 et cetera. That would be my thought.
Okay. Spiffy, anyone else agree or disagree? Okay. Thanks.
I think it's sad that I know as much about pthreads as I do. I spent too much time with the pthreads.
Yeah, well, we try to repress it also.
all the things with the conditions and everything else. Once upon a time, I was crazy user. Anybody got anything else? Okay. PRs. So 2748, this is the stuff that Wink is doing, and he's looking for feedback on this. I'm not the right person to give feedback, but is I don't either Joe or Joe or Benoit, does either of you have time to give 2748 a good review, and so that we could move to getting that merged?
Sure. Do we want to take the do not merge label off of it? I've been kind of staying away from this one because it was labeled do not merge, and I wanted to avoid it until it was in a stable state. But
I think it's in a stable state. I'd like to leave the do not merge on it just so that nobody accidentally merged it without it getting a good solid review on that.
Okay.
All right, so I'm gonna put you on it and say, let's say Wentzville. So did both Benoit and Joe, did you see the oops, I accidentally hit the close button. Now I know how people I missed it by just a tiny bit, the comment one, and did the close. I've always wondered, how does that happen where it gets closed and opened? Did you see the conversation on the 2823 OpenBSD PR, OpenBSD PR, in particular the conversation about what they do with LLVM, which would have an impact on what our plans were to do with LLVM. In particular, this would go to the, it'd be about 15 days ago was where we had the conversation regarding this.
Scrolling now.
Specifically related to our vendoring plan and how OpenBSD has its does its own version of LLVM, so they maintain a port of it and they only do one version. So if we were to version say just LLVM 3.9.1 with our own patches on it like we were intending, and then we could go from one version of LLVM to another upgrading on our own and adding our own patches, we would run into a problem with OpenBSD and potentially any other platform that has to do the same type thing where it's not directly supported by LLVM and they're doing their own versions that they're upgrading and patching to get to work on their system.
Interesting.
I think this is something that we should discuss when more of us are around together on a call more fully to make a decision. But I do think that that we should, in light of this information, we should revisit our specific plan for the LLVM stuff. We were where we said, you know, we would only support our vendored version, that we would remove support for anything else, etc. and at least have a conversation about what would be the impact of this if we wanted to be able to work with OpenBSD, et cetera, right?
So the Wink's comment there about, he says option one is what Rust supports, and it's what my PR 2748 also supports. I mean, I'm tempted to say, so we kind of came to our conclusion that about what to do about LLVM because of advice we heard from the Rust team, in concordance with our own experiences. And so I would lean toward, let's just
You there, Joe?
Yeah, did you guys not hear that?
You said I would lean towards, and then I didn't hear anything else.
I would lean towards, let's do what Rust does, unless we have reasons not to do that.
So it appears that, based on what Wink says, is that what Rust does is leave the option available for users to continue to compile separately against packaged LLVMs at their own risk with reduced or no support at all, right? So OpenBSD would be an experimental thing. I think I would be okay with that. That would mean that we'd be doing updates to different versions of LLVM in the code as OpenBSD moves along, I guess, right? In some kind of fashion, or something else does. So that's certainly a thing that we could do.
Well, I thought Rust said they also had custom patches to LLVM. This is part where I'm a bit confused. I thought Rust had custom patches that added LLVM functionality that they were missing. And
I don't know if it was missing, but I know they were definitely fixing bugs.
Okay, fixing bugs, that's different. Okay.
I don't know that they were adding functionality. And I don't actually know that Rust and LLVM, let's see, what is it actually? So it looks like from that, what they do is they follow LLVM error /LLVM, take their release branches in Git and start from there. Then they add Rust-specific patches that are too unstable to land upstream, as well as some weird build patches that also don't make sense upstream. After that, we only take back ports already landed on upstream patches. I think a fork is a great idea that gives you the agility to extract specifics of what you're doing. You'll want to maintain compatibility with stock LLVM releases for distros and such. Otherwise, I think the main thing I'd recommend is to not stray too far from upstream projects.
There you go. There's the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that this doesn't change our view very much. It just kind of expands it.
Yep. Okay, so with that said, this looks good to me. I would go ahead and merge. I'm going to go ahead and merge the OpenBSD support.
No. I had a comment in there from 22 days ago saying I think this hack commit takes care of the path problem. But that patch, I believe, is still missing from the PR because I don't think.
Okay, can you drop a note for that on there for Brian and that's Ibarra and ask him to do that, and we'd want to get we could get that in. Okay, I missed that wasn't there, but then we could get that merged, and hey, yay! At least for a while, we have OpenBSD support. All right. Cool. Okay. I have 20 minutes before I have to kick off. Let's see. Ooh, all right. 28:53. Can Joe and Benoit, I think you would be good folks to review that, not me. This would be a fix for 28:43. In the meantime, I'm going to merge Dippin's FreeBSD 11 CI commit.
It was good to me.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said it was good to me.
Yeah, me too.
All right, can you do a little approval on it and I'll merge it? Or you can merge it.
I've hit approve. I'm just going to hit merge as well. As long as it doesn't have a change log label yet. Adding the change log label. Merging.
Nice. Let's see. All righty. Yes, I often forget about the fixed ones. Okay. Oops. Let's see. While we're at it. Okay. Okay. Let's see. LLVM submodule activating Open Collective. We can talk about that sometime later when we have a chance to look at it. Use correct variable flags for epoll stuff. Okay. Dippin's still going to look into that. Okay. Let's see, what is, did you see, Scott, on your, 2839 that the comment from, from Dippin, let's see, this is under experimental incomplete or buggy support for 32-bit platforms, x86, yeah, we have a cross compiler for that. I think the ARM stuff works on 32-bit. But I haven't really paid much attention to that. Why did you list the ARM CPUs as experimental, incomplete, or buggy for 32-bit?
I guess it's because I didn't know what the larger consensus of everyone is in that if a platform appears in our growing sprawl of CI, if that means it's fully supported or some
at least when we previously defined fully supported, part of that was being in CI. So if these things were in CI, we would consider them supported because we won't merge things if this thing is breaking. So I don't maybe check with I would check with Dipin on that, but I think that would those would count as supported for 32-bit, the ARM ones.
Okay.
But ping him on that and see, because he's the one who set up all the CI ones, and I haven't gone through and reviewed what all of the CI things are. I'm going to have to go back and do that at some point.
Yeah, well, just to bolster my calling those things experimental is that my understanding is that FreeBSD support is still kind of experimental, except that there's also, I think, a pending PR to add it to CI. So
Actually, it's not pending anymore. I merged that thing while we were while folks were looking at other stuff. So yeah, the FreeBSD 11 now has that's 64-bit CI. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Thanks.
Should I note that on this on the PR?
Yeah, please.
Okay. FreeBSD 11, 64-bit now has CI support and can be considered supported. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I guess the only caveat I would say for that, like, I agree with that classification is if it has CI support. But also one other caveat I would add is that if there are platforms where we've like excluded tests to get the CI to pass, I kind of feel like there might have been an example of that.
There are some. Yeah, I would say those are not supported yet. There are several that run in Travis where they do fail. Yeah.
Okay.
Where we know that they fail. I think Dipin's really the best one to go over that with Dipin Scott. He would be the best person to verify on that.
Sure. Thanks.
Indeed. Okay. All righty. So that's those PRs there for things. Issues. Okay, that's your issue. Auto cancel build. Alrighty. Well, actually feel like let's see. Before we go, let's take a look. How about at 28:29? I haven't looked at this at all. But it's come in, so oh, actually, no. FreeBSD isn't supported yet because of a bug that actually your open issue, Scott, for FreeBSD 11.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So yes. Which bug was? Where was that bug? Darn it. Oh yeah.
2825.
Yeah, once this is fixed, we can add FreeBSD to the list of supported platforms. 8664.
For 2829, I'm just going to mark it as needs investigation.
Okay.
I don't know there's a lot that we can discuss here, but it is a well-defined issue ticket. So.
Alrighty. So I'm gonna delete my comment on your PR, Scott, because it was just wrong. There we go. Okay. Alrighty. I need to kick off a few minutes early today, so I'm going to go ahead and call it. Looks like Gordon had to knock off for work as well, who was here even though he didn't say anything. So yeah, does real quick before we call it, does anybody have anything they want to cover? Nope. All right then. Thanks for coming, everyone.